Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
This is Dion. Most of you probably haven't met him unless you met him in this moment we just had now. Him and his wife Tina are from Potchefstroom. And I think she just went out because she's going to start praying for him now. And they are serving and have been serving in a congregation for a while. And Dion feels a call of God on his life to enter into ministry. And so he's been sort of on a training type program for the last while. And it's just been great to hear, just even see a little bit of the fruit as someone steps up and says, God, here I am, use me. And so he's sort of beginning to stir in his heart. I don't want to say too much about it, to step out, to go plant a church, which we're really excited about, to be bold, to take a step of faith and to say, Jesus, I'm going to go walk on some water. But I asked him just to come through this evening and to share with us and encourage us a little bit in the faith and something that Christ has been doing in his life a little bit. And just now you'll see Tina come back. That's his wife. So welcome, Dion. He drove through all the way from Potch, and after the service, he's driving all the way back. He is a real Christian. He gave up a rugby match to come and share with us. So welcome, Dion. Thank you for your moita.
Thank you. Awesome. You're going to just have to awkwardly watch me as I take my laptop out on the stand. This is my wife, Tina. She went to get me some water. Awesome. It is truly, truly an honor to have this opportunity to be here with you. And as we drove here, it was raining incredibly. And I thought that maybe you should come and jog more in Potchefstroom because we need some rain there. my wife, just a quick, I'm going to give you not a quick backstory. I'm going to start giving you a very long backstory in a second now. But I'm going to start near the end first. I met my wife, how long? 2 years ago? 3 years ago in 2021. And we, just after COVID, went back to studying. We both studied at the Northwest University in Potchefstroom. And when I met her, my first reaction was, I should have studied what she's studying. And my wife is just busy finishing her master's in conservation. She's handing in a couple of weeks. And so I'm very excited about that because for the first time, I'm going to get to know her without studies in the house as well. And so I'm very excited about that. But we've been married for a year and a couple of months now. And it's fantastic. Get married. It's really wonderful. So I want to ask a question. But before I ask the question, I think it is appropriate that I just pray first. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can gather on a beautiful rainy day as today in a magnificent building as this is to worship you, God. May our focus be on you. Holy Spirit, may we honor your presence and may we feel your presence and be guided by your presence tonight. Lord, I pray that you have grace upon me and the words that I speak. Let there be a God in front of my mouth, and may it be a pleasant aroma unto you. I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, I want to ask you a question, and that is, who here grew up reading the Bible? Who of you grew up reading a Bible? Okay, let me ask it the other way around. Who grew up not reading a Bible? Only discovering the Bible. Who grew up without the Bible in their home? You know what? So we've had this this exposure to the Word, most of us, since we were very young. And I have heard many stories of Christians that come to faith only later in their lives, that meet Jesus in a phase of their lives where they are so ignited and burning, and where they want to take scripture and they can't stop digging into it. They can't get enough. They're just like, I just want more and more of this book. I just can't get enough. And then they always tell the story of how that sort of fades away later and how they have to start cultivating the discipline, but how it started with this hunger for the word after they met Christ. And I've never been able to relate to that story. So tonight I want to tell you a bit of my story, and hopefully I believe there is a lot of you that can relate. If a lot of us grew up reading the Bible, grew up with the Bible in our houses being read, maybe by our parents, maybe we had children's Bibles with the pictures, and there's always this one picture. There was this one children's Bible, and I don't know if it was one that was in English as well, but there was this one Kinder Bible which had the most epic illustrations in, and my favorite picture was the one where Jesus was walking on the water, and this crazy storm, and his hair is blowing in the wind, and that was the one picture I had that made Jesus look like a real-life superhero. And that was just this fond memory I have. But I grew up with the Bible being something of a norm. I grew up very used to the Bible. And I'm very, in my personal life, I'm very thankful for that. When I was between the age of 3 and 5, definitely not 5 yet, but let's say around there, I remember sitting on the carpet in my pre-primary school in kindergarten, and I remember how my mom has always been, she's been telling me about how I should give my heart to Jesus. Dion, you must open the door in your heart so that Jesus can come into your heart and live in your heart. That's how I heard the gospel the first time. And I remember sitting on the carpet in the kindergarten while we were packing away the toys. The nursery, we had this nursery rhyme, "Op prime tijd, dis 'n lekker lekker tijd." And I remember having a completely solitude moment. It wasn't a moment of influence. It wasn't a moment of the teacher, the caretaker trying to convince me. It was a moment that I had that I sat on the carpet and I started praying. And I said, Jesus, I don't really know how, but I know you don't care how. But I open the door of my heart and I want you to come live in my heart. Would you please do that? And that was me as a 3-year-old. And that alone to me is a miracle. I remember my kindergarten teacher telling me the story later in life where she was in the kitchen one day and she had to drop everything and run into the room. So our kindergarten was in her garage and she had to run into the garage because she heard someone screaming, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Here." And when she came into the room, I was shouting and we played that I raised a girl from the dead. And Jesus was something that I was fixated upon as a toddler. And I remember my mom instigating me to go to people. I remember two things specifically that she would. At first, the first few times she instigated me, but then I started doing it on my own. So one of them was to go to people if they're smoking and tell them to stop as a toddler. So my mom taught me to do that, and I would start doing that nonchalantly because I would want. My mom told me how bad it is for you, and I would go to people and tell them, you should stop smoking because you're going to die. And the other thing was that my mom told me to go tell that lady that Jesus loves her. And the first few times My mom instigated, but later on she didn't have to. It was something that I was looking for as a toddler, to see people look lonely or sad and go to them and tell them, do you know that Jesus loves you? And I didn't understand the weight of it. I just knew that Jesus loved me and that he loved them, and I wanted to share that. So I had this revelation of the love of Jesus. I had a revelation of the fact that Jesus is living in me. And I remember picturing this idea of my heart being a little home with a window and pebbles outside where Jesus comes out to sit in the garden, like Frodo in front of the Hobbit house. That was my little Hobbit house. Jesus was living in a Hobbit house in my heart. And I also remember, as I grew older, coming to a realization of repentance. Coming to a realization of I did something wrong, and I need to repent, because I'm gonna butcher it now. I'm gonna say I wanted to make Jesus happy. But that was my honest desire. Is I wanted Jesus to love me and I wanted to love him honestly. And I knew that sin came in between that. And as a young boy in primary school, I knew that I had to pray as much as possible. Now, guys, I cannot thank my mother enough. I have a fantastic mom because she drilled this into me. But we all know mothers that drilled this into their children so much that it pushed them away. So it couldn't have been my mother alone. It had to be the Holy Spirit. Because my mother, if there's one person that would be able to drive someone away with the gospel, it would be my mom. I remember my friends would be ready. They know if they're going to get in the car with my mom, she's going to be preaching from point A to point B about everything in life. About how we should be careful in relationships, how we should pray more, how we shouldn't do drugs. That was my mom. That still is my mom. Tina Viet. But I cannot say thank you enough. So I recall as a primary school boy, my mom was teaching me how I should pray more. So just a side note, we went to a Reformed church, the Dopperkerk, and my mom and my dad had a lot of tension in our house because she did not like the Reformed church, and my dad grew up in the Reformed church, and my dad has never been a very proud Afrikaans man. He was proud, but not in the sense of his Afrikaansness or his churchness. That was his revelation of God, and he wanted to disciple us. So it was his earnest desire to take us to church, even though he himself still had to learn. And I'm not saying don't get me wrong, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the Reformed church. There was definitely some crags in our specific Reformed church, but as there is in any church. But the thing is, there was this friction between my mom and my dad because of these two churches. And because my mom had the student experience. My mom had the jump and jive student experience in the 90s. And my dad didn't have that. He went to the army and he started working. So we have these two people coming together, as we do with contrasting worldviews. This tangent is going too far. So I grew up listening to my mom way more than I ever listened to a reverend or to anybody in church. And she taught me how to pray. And I remember every night she'd ask me, Dion, did you pray this morning when you woke up? And I would tell her, Mom, I've been praying the entire day because Jesus is my friend. So I've been having conversations with my friend. And I remember how I would often at school remember, I haven't prayed today. And I would start just chatting with Jesus. And I didn't have a concept of the Holy Spirit. I didn't quite understand that. But Jesus was living in my heart. And I knew repentance. When I did something bad, I would repent to Jesus first. However, the prayer faded and the evangelism faded in high school because that wasn't cool anymore. And what grew in that was this repentance and this feeling of guilt. Because now I'm living more worldly, still wearing the face covering of the Christian guy in school. And this book was still something of a formality to me. It was something that I was used to. Something that didn't carry that much weight. It wasn't alive to me. It was the story of Jesus. That's what this was. The story of Jesus, Moses, and the Israelites. And the other guys, Daniel, Joseph, that was a storybook. And that was what it was for me for the majority of my life. And I didn't realize what this book said about the life in abundance and the power of the Holy Spirit. And what it means to say that Jesus lives within me. And the power that that carries. The living God living within my heart. Within the confines of my being. That it didn't hit me. It didn't. And fast forward. In my first year in varsity, 2019, I got baptized. That was a fight with my Reformed father. And a fight that ended up in my dad softening his heart. It wasn't because of me. He had the right friends. And I got baptized and my parents were there and they prayed with me. And I made a public declaration to the church. I grabbed the mic and I said, I'm going to be different. I'm going back to Potchefstroom. And people will see me walking on the streets and they will know that the living God is in me. I didn't realize what I was saying. After I was baptized, everything went south. Boom, crash, a whole escapade. It was frantic. But I carried the conviction still. Repentance was still growing because I knew Christ. I invited him into my heart as a young boy. I knew his presence. I knew his conviction. Doesn't matter how far I ran into the world, I couldn't get rid of the voice of the Holy Spirit convicting me and drawing me back. So much so that in the first opportunity that I had, I grabbed when COVID hit and I ran back home. And this high horse I was on came tumbling down. Completely destroyed. And I realized that I'm nothing. That I'm nothing without him. And that it is only in him that I am something. And I, soon after that, it's funny how we come in life, this book was still not hitting me. I tried to read it out of discipline, but it was still not hitting me. It's funny how when we start making the right decisions in life, it's almost as if we're ticking the right boxes and things start happening. It's almost as if as soon as you make this choice, that happens and all these good things fall into place. Almost like good and bad choices have consequences. And I had the opportunity to go back to Potchefstroom and I ran at that opportunity because I knew there was church. I knew there was community and I knew that's what I needed because in my isolation during COVID, I met the Lord and I was freed in him from many addictions because of one simple verse in Revelation and this book started hitting me. That's not the verse I'm going to go into tonight. what I want to go after is something that hit me and it broke me. And it was actually this Tuesday morning. We were at our prayer meeting in church, and a good friend of mine that's serving in Potchefstroom, his name is Gerard. He shared this scripture with us for our prayer. So it's Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3 is about Paul writing about the mystery of the gospel and how that is that we as the Gentiles now have access to the gospel. And we are called into the church to be part of the church, and the church is to reveal the glory of God's wisdom to heavenly rulers and authorities. But when we get to verse 14, Paul starts praying. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." This prayer speaks of a life that has something more than what we are used to. I mean, how can we read a piece of scripture like this and continue having a normal, everyday life? Paul prays that we may be strengthened. So this is Paul's desire. He falls to his knees, which is outside of Jewish culture, to fall to your knees and pray. But it's inside of Greek culture, so he's writing to the Greeks. The Greek would understand. He's falling on his knees to pray. And what Paul is praying for is something that he has already experienced. This has already taken place in him. So he prays that we may be strengthened, and not only strengthened according to the riches of the glory of Christ. You can't get stronger than that. Samson can take a step back. Strengthened according to the glory of Christ. We're strengthened with power through his Spirit in our inner being, inside of us. I'm reminded about 1 Peter. Peter says that we should always be ready to make a defense. But to make a defense for what? For the hope that is in you. So this is something that is more than just how many times have you read the scripture and not realized what it is saying. This hope that is in us is something that Paul prays for. It is to be strengthened by Christ, by his glory and his riches in our innermost being. He continues to strengthen with power so that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Why do we need strength? For Christ to dwell in our hearts. Well, maybe because it's overwhelming. I mean, all of his riches and glory may be quite overwhelming when that truly dwells within us. And we need strength just to handle that. But furthermore, maybe we need strength to really react to that. And we need faith so that Jesus may dwell, Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. We need to have faith in Him to receive this. Faith is the hope in what is unseen, but more than that, it is trusting in God. It is having a relationship with God. That is faith, and that is why faith looks like something. Because it is an active relationship. Trusting in God. You cannot trust in someone without a relationship, without knowing their capabilities. And how much more can you know someone's capabilities, know someone's character, know someone's power than if they dwell within you? Paul continues. And he says that being rooted and grounded in love, we may have the strength. So to retrace, he's praying for us to be strengthened so that we may have strength. Paul is on his knees. Praying that Christ may strengthen us to receive and perceive Him. To be able to have Him dwell in our hearts is not only receiving, but it is interacting. It is perceiving Him. It is seeing Him, feeling Him, experiencing Him. As Christians, as people who grew up, calling myself a Christian, as people who grew up in a majority Christian culture, how nonchalantly have we come to handle that phrase, that statement, yes, I'm a Christian. If you say that you are a Christian, if you say that you are a Christian in the sense of you are a little Christ, a follower of the way, a son of God, a daughter of God, the living God, the source of all life, then that's a powerful statement. To pitch up and say I'm a Christian is to pitch up and say that I know how it feels to experience the living God dwelling within my innermost being. Because that is Paul's prayer for all of us. That we may receive Christ within us. That's not small. That's not something to be wearing a mask about. To nonchalantly say, I'm a Christian. I read this and I wanted to understand what Paul is praying about. He continues to pray that we may have the strength to comprehend, along with the saints, the height, width, and depth of the love of Christ. That we may know that which is unknowable. That we may know truly that which is impossible to know fully. How better can we know that than with Christ living inside of us? Yes, may we have Christ in us, so we may come to experience Christ. And for that we need strength. As I said, it may be completely overwhelming to realize the living God is within you. And may we be people that face this fact, that want to be overwhelmed with the fact that God lives within us. Personally, I found myself in a place where I was very skeptical about this, about the living God in me and me experiencing Him. But may we seek within us. And seek to be surrendered entirely to Him. Let it overwhelm us. But that's not the only thing we need strength for. Maybe His love, His presence is pulling us out of our comfort zones. And therefore we need strength. Paul knows we need strength because when we encounter Christ, we're going to go. We are going to face persecution if we encounter Christ. If Christ is in us and we realize the truth of that, then that will move us to move. It will never keep us stagnant and passive. It will put us in positions where we are in danger. Because we lay down our lives. It will push us into positions where we have to really go out on a limb, step out on the water, have faith, and trust in the one that lives within us. That's why we need strength when we have Christ within us. Maybe it's just needing strength to go to the lady in KFC and tell her that Jesus loves her. I confess, I have been in rows at supermarkets and takeaway places and on the street where I did not have the strength to react to the living Christ within me. Where I did not go to someone that I felt God move me towards. Where I was not the little toddler that I used to be. And how much more am I capable of defending the hope within me now than I was when I was a little boy? But yet, I was trusting in myself and not in the Christ within me. Not in the living God within me. I found myself a comfortable Christian. We need strength to overcome the old man. We need strength to react to what it means to be a basic Christian. It's Christ living within us. How can that ever leave us passive? Last part of the prayer. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He is able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask and ever think, according to what? The same power that dwells within us. Listen, I'm not saying that we should take ownership of that power and make it our own and say that we are the ones that are powerful. But we need to react to the power that is within us. And how much more strength could we ever want? For it is the same power. May that encourage us to boldness and to deep encounters with Christ within us. The band can come up. Now we give glory to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. That power that Paul is praying for is the power of God. The power of which He takes and gives. And he starts the prayer. He says, this is for all families. God names all families in heaven and on earth for His glory and throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Folks, we can call ourselves Christians until the sun dies, but if we truly have faith, if Christ truly lives in us, then we will be strengthened to comprehend His love and His love for all, every single person. We cannot say that we have the living Christ dwelling within us, yet we keep her to ourselves. It does not logically follow, because comprehending his love moves us towards those whom he loves. If there is one thing that I can leave you with tonight, is that we need to realize that saying we are Christians is not only making healthy choices and living morally sound. It is moving with power as part of the body of Christ. It is loving and serving your neighbor and your enemy equally. Praying for those who hate you. It means being hated. It means being hated for the sake of Jesus. And it means that the one true living God lives within you. How do we not write books about it? How do we not shout it from the rooftops? How do we not build corporations and open schools and close nightclubs and bring revival? How do we not? If we are the tools of the living God, the dwelling place is the temple of the living God. And if he strengthens us with the power of him dwelling within us. If you stand with me, I want to pray for us. I want to challenge you where you are as we go into prayer and worship. I want to challenge you. Truly ask yourself how you can make this your own. How can you stop reading scripture and missing the power of it? And how can you stop going day to day and missing the power within you, the living God within you? And what is he calling you to? What is the small moments? Small moments that you need strength for. Loving your family well. Doing your studies in excellence. Standing up every morning and spending time with him first. I need a lot of strength for that. And reaching out to the lady at KFC. Invite her to church. Let's pray. Lord God, King of kings, Lord of all, we acknowledge your presence. You say that you dwell within us, then you dwell within us. Lord, we seek you and we want you. We desire to be close to you. May all other desires in this world fall away. May we not long for our own glory. May we not long for our own riches. But may we be filled according to your riches and your glory, so that you may be glorified in all generations. God, may we make nothing our own. We want to live surrendered. We desire to live for you. We desire to have the power within us, to have you dwelling within our innermost being. We desire to find life in your scriptures. And we desire to love your children as you have loved us. So I pray, God, may we encounter you. Your power. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and his glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363, email us pretoria@shofaronline.org, browse our website, www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.